Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Well, it's easy to get lost in unfamiliar places, especially if you've had one too many drinks. An Estonian tourist, known only as Pavel, reportedly got a little too drunk while on vacation in Cervinia, Italy. Now, Italian news sources say the man thought that he was headed back to his hotel, but he ended up climbing a mountain instead.
Okay. All right. I don't remember it being this high.
By accident, between 2 and 3 a.m., he managed to trudge his way up a mountainside until he found a local bar called the Igloo, located about 1,491 feet above sea level.
Wouldn't you have remembered coming down a mountain?
You would think so. Well, he broke into the bar and took shelter there. A search party was sent out, but the staff at the bar discovered Pavel first. No word on his current condition. This is pretty fun. Never underestimate just how good a play on words can go over. When Southern Oregon University sent out a warning email to students about cougar sightings, senior Caleb Diaz hit reply all and wrote, "Ah, that's just my mom." He told BuzzFeed he didn't think the reply would even go through,
right,
but the school says it somehow slipped through. Diaz says at first he panicked, but and it quickly became clear that folks at the school, including school officials, liked his joke. And his mother even laughed about it. So he didn't get in any trouble or anything like that. He was just having some fun with it. But it was a good line. This is messed up. A Texas man charged with dismembering a college student and burning her remains.
Jeez.
Didn't kill her, but rather she died during kinky sex, the man's defense attorney said.
Now I feel a lot better about all this.
Charles Bryant's murder trial began Monday, where his defense lawyer, Glynis McGinty, said that he's only guilty of tampering with evidence in the death of 24-year-old Jacqueline Vandegrift.
And, Your Honor, you're actually going to laugh when you hear what happened.
McGinty claimed Vandegrift died during consensual sex. He panicked and then went to a Walmart to buy a shovel so he could bury her.
I think that's a natural reaction. You're going to bury the dead body and not tell anyone.
Prosecutors didn't mention the sex, but said Vandegrift was on a good path until an evil, destructive figure, Charles Bryant, stepped into her path. Vandegrift met Bryant at a bar that night. Mm-hmm. Surveillance video showed the pair leaving two bars together. Bryant was shown in another surveillance video buying the shovel and cough medicine at a Walmart the next morning.
Is this a good bodying burying shovel?
Authorities traced Vandegrift's cell phone to Bryant's home and found her purse in his trash. Her burned body was found in a park nearby. Bryant, who also has a charge of child pornography.
Oh, what a champ.
Faces life in prison if convicted of first degree murder.
Think of that leap you take from burning a body.
Yeah. A shocked teaching assistant found a sex toy that was looped around a schoolboy's ear after he mistook it for a hearing aid.
Oh, my God. All I'm hearing is humming.
And after it was confiscated at the UK school, the red-faced head teacher had to make a very awkward call home. A group of 8 to 10-year-olds were returning to school, returning school library books when the male vibrating sex toy was spotted. A young boy asked his giggling, blushing teachers if they liked his new hearing aid before they removed it from his ear.
It's a C-ring, it looks like.
Yeah, it's like a rubber ring with a vibrating element that wraps around a cylinder of sorts.
And he thought it was a hearing aid?
Yeah, the bizarre anecdote was shared on an internet forum. the teacher said one of our TAs brought a class of 4 years to fourth grade,
yep,
to the library to change their books. As they were lining up to get them scanned, I could see a shocked look on her face. She was gesturing for me to look at something. As the children filed past me, scanning away at their books, a boy approached and looked at me and said, "Do you like my new hearing aid?"
Wouldn't the kid have noticed that the hearing had not been enhanced at all by it?
She said, "I didn't know he'd had any hearing impairment, but as I looked closer, I was shocked to see that he had a male's vibrating sex aid looped over his ear." I'm guessing he didn't. I think he probably found it.
Like a prank?
And then popped it on.
Yeah.
Thought, he may have thought it was a hearing aid and said, "Hey, what do you think of my new hearing aid?
Why is my ear so hard?"
The TA's face was bright red. She was stifling a giggle, and I was trying to sound interested, and he was totally oblivious to what it really was, she said. The hilarious incident caused a bit of a commotion among the children, she said.
Fortunately, the teacher has a drawer full of them at home.
When you renovate a place, you might expect to come across an antique or perhaps an old photo, but you probably wouldn't expect to find a mummified monkey. Cruz, working at the old Dayton's department store in Minneapolis, Minnesota, last week found the carcass in an air duct on the seventh floor of the century-old building.
We've got a bigger problem. There's a monkey killer in town.
So there's a mummified monkey in the air duct on the seventh floor. Developers don't know where the monkey came from, nor how it ended up in the air duct. A historic site called Old Minneapolis posted a photo of the monkey on his Facebook page and solicited answers. Now, one of the site's co-administrators says for now the most likely answer that they've got came from someone who posted on the page saying a longtime Dayton's employee told him that a monkey had escaped from an eighth-floor pet store in the air conditioning ductwork in the 1960s.
Oh, my God. So it was around the building in the air ducts and eventually just died and mummified.
Yeah, and they think that this might have been there since the 1960s. And we're looking
at it. All right, who's ever stealing my lunch bananas, I'm on to you.
Look at it. It's like, perfectly mummified.
Yeah, almost looks like it's in a running position.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
The way you'd have to run if you were running through air vents.
Yeah. The mayor of a Paris suburb has been arrested after attempting drunk, wearing a flak jacket and armed with a Japanese saber and a handgun to stop members from of the traveling community setting up a camp in his town. Richard Trinker was detained on Sunday after he turned up along with the deputy mayor of the suburb of Wissous and two off-duty local police officers at the parking lot of a creche. I don't know what that is. Where the travelers were attempting to set up a halting site. Evidently, there were tensions between the mayor and the traveler community, a local prosecutor's office said. The mayor of Wissous had reportedly had a license to use a handgun for sporting purposes, but does not have a permit to carry a gun in public. A member of the community with who he had the altercation was also arrested on Sunday, but he showed up with a sword and a gun wearing a flak jacket, ready to move him out of there.
Not in my neighborhood.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
For the first time, officially, NASA will set loose human sperm in outer space.
Yeah!
The Micro 11 mission, which made its way to space aboard SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket's Dragon resupply capsule, amounts to a bunch of containers of frozen human and bull sperm.
It's also known as, instead of a rocket, it's a jizzkit.
Aboard the International Space Station, scientists will thaw the sperm, and then they will study it to see how weightlessness affects its ability to move and prepare to fuse with an egg.
Are we looking to create space babies?
I don't know.
Like at the end of 2001?
It's something they do need to consider, you know, if there's going to be long-term space travel. Previous experiments with sea urchin and bull sperm suggests that activating movement happens more quickly in microgravity.
And space balls.
While the steps leading up to fusion happen more slowly or not at all. Delays or problems at this stage could prevent fertilization from happening in space. So they do need to find out that
they
stuff.
They do, yes.
NASA is setting up bull sperm along with human sperm, the agency wrote, because the bull cells are more consistent in activity and appearance than human sperm.
I wonder how the whole conceiving process, if that's thrown into disarray because of gravity and the whole thing.
I think it's what they're trying to figure out.
Eventually, the hope is to have Earth women mate with bulls, correct?
Yeah, that's kind of what they're going for here, I think. So by studying it alongside the human sperm, astronauts will be able to figure out whether any strange behavior they're seeing is a result of something unusual about a particular sperm sample or the effects of microgravity.
Because my belief is probably minotaurs would probably be better adept at working in space.
Ah, okay. They'd have to have really large helmets, though.
I think so, yeah.
With the horns and everything.
I mean, but they're planning. They're NASA. They'd think of everything.
Performing this experiment is about as close as NASA has ever come to acknowledging that sooner or later, sex in space is almost certainly going to become a reality. While rumors have long abounded of Russian or American spacefarers hooking up in orbit, none have ever been officially confirmed, and most are likely false, according to past reporting by live science site space.com.
There's a tremendous amount of potential issues to sex in space.
Clean up alone.
Clean up alone.
Mm-hmm. A doctor who ran a fertility clinic in Canada used his own sperm to father at least 11 children, a class action lawsuit alleges. Yeah.
You've had a number of stories like this.
Yeah.
These guys want to play God.
Yeah. Dr. Norman Barwin is accused of using his sperm without the knowledge or consent of the families who approached him for insemination treatment at his clinic.
So this guy, Norman Barwin, it's not Connor Barwin, which would make it a feasible thing, it's Norman. The little shrivel guy.
That is correct. The suit alleges that in some cases, Barwin was supposed to use the sperm from the male of the couple for insemination.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's bad. In other cases, he was expected to use an anonymous sperm donor. Instead, it turns out that he himself is the biological father, the statement says.
Yeah, and this guy looks like exactly what you'd expect him to look like.
Attorneys representing Barwin declined to comment to CNN. One of the lawyers representing the plaintiffs accused the doctor of a tremendous breach of trust. He said that his firm expected to find that the doctor was the father of some children, but it didn't think that it was going to be quite as much as they found. The law firm says the allegations date as far back as the 1970s when Barwin ran the Broadview Fertility Clinic and practiced out of a fertility clinic at Ottawa General Hospital. The most recent case was from the early 2000s. In addition, this guy's been doing it for ages.
For a long time.
Yeah, in addition.
It's his thing.
At least another 16 children were found not to be the biological matches to the men previously believed to be their fathers. In those cases, the actual sperm donor is unknown.
Can you imagine that?
A further 35 children may not have been conceived using the anonymous donor sperm chosen by their mothers. The father's identities were also unknown. Barwin was suspended by the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario for 2 months in 2013 after he admitted that he had inseminated four women with the wrong sperm over two decades. But it's a lot more than they had anticipated,
so apparently. At some point, a lot of these guys get seduced into thinking, I could be the father of, you know, I could be the creator here.
I guess so. A construction firm employee in the UK, I believe, who claimed his former supervisor would regularly, quote, lift his bum and fart on him, has lost a $1.8 million compensation case. David Hinkst sued a construction engineer, engineering, where he worked as an entry-level contract administrator between 2008 and 2009 for psychiatric and physical injuries allegedly suffered as a result of being bullied in the workplace.
From being farted on.
Yeah. After an 18-day trial in November before the Supreme Court of Victoria, so this would be Australia, I believe, then, Justice Rita Zammit last month dismissed the case, finding that even if the farting occurred, it would, quote, not necessarily amount to bullying.
You guys just farting.
Mr. Hinkst claimed that former supervisor Greg Short started farting the day he returned to the head office and took a desk in the communal office space.
Welcome back.
And this progressed to the point where he would do it every day. He said, look, this is according to Mr. Short. He said, look, I don't recall doing it, but I may have done it once or twice, maybe. But I can't recall. I don't recall doing so, so I'm not flat out saying that I did or didn't. I just can't remember doing it. But if he alleges I did it.
This must have been a fun work environment.
Mr. Short denied that he was doing it with the intention of distressing or harassing Mr. Hinkst. He said, no, not at all. The court heard that the constant farting led Mr. Hinkst to spray deodorant on Mr. Short and call him, quote, Mr. Stinky.
You're Mr. Stinky.
That was actually used in court.
Mr. Stinky.
Mr. Stinky.
I'll tell you what you are. You're Mr. Stinky.
Another former employee, Philip Hamilton.
Would you call me?
Told the court that he recalled times Mr. Hinkst got quite offended by some of the stuff that went on there.
Mr. Stinky.
The core of Mr. Hinkst's bullying case was that Mr. Short, former supervisor Luke Pepperpell, and the company director Simon Barker were engaged in a conspiracy to marginalize him and terminate his employment.
Very naughty.
Yeah, so
it's a concerted effort.
That's what he thought it was.
Farting.
Conspiracy of sorts. All right, and then we will do one more quick story and wrap things up.
Mr. Stinky.
Let's go to this. A Northern Michigan resident had an unwanted encounter with an eight-legged intruder earlier this month, and their solution was to call the police. It was a spider.
You should have called that exterminator guy you watched, Preston.
Billy the Exterminator.
Yeah, Billy the Exterminator would have taken care of it.
Officers were dispatched to a home in the small Northern Michigan city after a resident called 911 asking for assistance in killing a spider.
Arachnid, we know you're in there. Come on out.
Despite the caller's seriousness with the issue, the caller was quickly informed that killing a spider is not a police matter and their calling of 911 constitutes misuse of the emergency system. According to police, the caller was informed that further misuse could lead to an arrest and offense that could lead to jail time or a hefty fine, depending on the severity of the situation.
It kills me because, throughout school and all my years of as a child being taught, I knew exactly what 911 was for. That seems to be eluding a lot of people these days.
A lot of people. So anyhow, there was no word on what happened to the spider, if somebody got it or not, but the police didn't take it out.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File Podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.